Today's word comes from Genesis chapter 17, verse 23 to 27. Genesis chapter 17, verse 23 to 27. I will read it to you. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. And all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with them. This is word of the Lord. Amen. We are continuing with the story of Abraham. And with the sermon titled, Abraham's Obedience, I would like to share God's grace with you. 2 weeks ago, we shared God's grace with the sermon titled Covenantal Relationship. I share that Christian religion must be understood covenantally. This is how God has chosen to relate to men, whether in the Garden of Eden or even after the entrance of sin into the world. It is a divine covenant which God binds himself by his own oath to keep his promises to his people. And I talked about how his covenant is sovereign, gracious, and everlasting. And it is this covenant that forgives us, saves us, and lets us live a victorious life with the hope of eternal life despite our sins and faults. But what's important to be reminded here is that this covenant is not based on the perfection of Abraham. It is God who made a covenant even when Abraham's faith was weak. And God strengthened Abraham's faith to fulfill his covenant he made with Abraham. This gives us a great encouragement that we must participate in the work of the kingdom of God with anticipation by discovering God's greatness rather than with discouragement by discovering our own weakness. So if this covenant relationship is initiated by God, then there must be a response to complete that relationship. In this Abrahamic covenant, two aspects of the covenants are firmly combined. One aspect is the covenantal relationship that God established with Abraham and his descendants, which I have already talked about. Another aspect is Abraham's faith and his obedience as a response to his call to covenantal relationship. This aspect is important because the covenant parties participate in the promise through faith. These two aspects must be combined and should be read and understood in light of each other because the obedience and commitment, not based on grace, and grace without obedience and commitment is impossible. It will not strengthen our faith, and it is an unhealthy Christian life. So through today's passage, I want us to look at how Abraham responded to God's covenant and how we must also to respond to this covenantal relationship. As a sign of God's covenant, God told Abraham and every generation to be circumcised. And this text is a scene in which Abraham exercises circumcision according to God's command. It is a report of Abraham's complete obedience. And it teaches us that the obedience is a way to respond to God's grace and his covenant. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." What God wants to see is not how smart we are, how talented we are, how good our plan is, or how dedicated we are, although they are important, but what God really wants to see is how obedient we are. But this concept of obedience may raise some resistance because today the word obey has a negative connotation. We view obedience as a forced, unwilling decision to do something we don't want to do. But that's not the kind of obedience that's in God's word. Obedience in the Bible starts with love. Jesus said in John chapter 14, 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." If you will love me, you will obey what I command. Obedience comes from knowing that God loves you and you love him in return. A lot of people think that obedience is about fearing God, but what God wants to see obedience to him as a relationship of love. And out of love comes trust. If you trust what God is saying to you and you believe that he loves you, then that will lead to action. So you need to have all three, because action without love is just religious activities, and love without action is just mere talk. I learned this when I became a pastor. I thought I will get sick. I will get into an accident or something if I don't obey. But when I received the calling, it wasn't a fear that made me to obey, but it was a love for Jesus that made me obey. Love for Jesus made me to do something that I've never imagined or wanted to do, but it gave me a courage to give my life to him. At the heart of what it means to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus is living in loving devotion to God. And genuine love for Christ will always manifest itself in obedience. So I'd like to see how this obedience is manifested in Abraham's life. So first, Abraham's obedience is absolute. Let's take a look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, "Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him." As God has said to him. It tells us that Abraham performed circumcision to every male just as what God said to him. This shows that Abraham had an absolute obedience towards God's command. He did not doubt about God's word, or he did not add, or he did not subtract any of God's command with his own knowledge. But he absolutely trusts and rely on God's covenant, and he showed an absolute obedience by doing just as what God has said to him. Why do we call Abraham man of faith? It's because he followed God's word. Indeed, Abraham was weak, and he made many mistakes. If we look back from chapter 12, there are more bad things he did than good things. But through his flaws and falls, he learned that he could live a good life when he does what God tells him to do. This is the obedience we need to learn. Sometimes what God challenges us to do, may not be understandable with human reasoning and judgment, but we must obey absolutely and completely. If you want to live a good life, peaceful life, and if you want to live a life that is fitting to the Lord, then you need to live as what God has told you. When we were young, we did what our parents told us to do. It's because that is the smartest way to live when you are not mature enough to have self-discernment. Likewise, if you want to live wisely, you must follow God's ways. We must not always try to find the shortcut and try to outsmart God, but follow the way that God directs you to go. We obey not because we understand everything that God does, but we obey absolutely and completely because we believe God, who is absolute and complete. Living according to God's word is the key to transformation in the world and people's lives. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's command and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good." Ephesians 6:6 says, "Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart." Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So if this is what God wants from us, when God calls us, our response must be like the confession of Isaiah. Lord, here I am. Send me. We must be faithful to the life entrusted to us through obedience. What we need is obedience, not reasoning before God. Sometimes we hesitate because we think our way is better. Sometimes we hesitate because of our weakness and shortcomings. But in fulfilling our mission, our situation, where our knowledge is not that important, we just need to kneel before the Lord just as who we are. Even if our situation seems like we're going through a dark tunnel, even if we think our way is way better, but relying on the power and love of God in all situations is a real faith. Secondly, Abraham's obedience is immediate. Verse 23 says, "Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God has said to him." That very day. And also in verse 26, it says, "That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised." That very day. Let me put an underline there. What this tells us is that Abraham's obedience was an immediate obedience. He did not delay, or he did not postpone to God's command. He did not say, "Oh God, wait for me. Just wait until I'm ready. Wait until I totally understand everything, what you say." But rather, he immediately performed circumcision that very day. Think about Abraham's age. He's 99. He was old, and his bodies were weak. So he probably couldn't act or move fast, right? Also in the age when medical technology was not developed, circumcising more than 300 men by yourself was not an easy thing to do. And if you're in this situation, you probably will like be calculating, "Oh God, oh my goodness, how am I gonna do 300 circumcision, and what do I have? And oh, you know what, I'm a little tired, I'm a little busy today, let me do it later," right? But without any hesitation, without any reasoning, he moved immediately to obey God's command. He did not list out the pros and cons, reasonable or unreasonable, and want it or not. That very day, he performed what God told him to do. Exodus 7:6 says, "Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them." Mark 1:17 and 18 says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. And the disciples let their nets at once and decide to follow Jesus. I'm sure you have an experience. If you try to postpone or delay an obedience, there's a lot of reasoning and calculation comes, and you eventually be like, "Oh, you know what? I thought about it. I don't think I can do it," right? So postponing to respond is another form of disobedience. It was not an easy to circumcise more than 300 men, but he did not ask God to give him some time, or he did not postpone to later. He did it immediately. I don't know if there's a soccer fan here, but there's this professional Korean soccer player named Ki Sung-yong. I'm sure you know him, right? No? He used to be a captain for Korea national soccer team. But he's married to one of the actresses. His wife is a celebrity. And I heard her sharing her stories at a TV show. She said that her husband sets time for prayer, and he prays at that time no matter what. So even in the middle of watching the drama, when the set time comes, he goes into the room and pray. I mean, you know how hard that is, right? In the middle of the scene where something very interesting is about to happen in the K-drama, and the alarm goes on, what are you going to do? oh, you know what? Let me finish this scene. Let me finish this episode and let me go and pray, right? Isn't that what we do? But he goes, when the alarm goes on, he goes into the room and just pray no matter what. Because he thinks that, he believes that that is a promise with God. That's a promised time with God. You know, we can see that postponing is compromising. This is like we're putting one foot on God and another foot on world. So if you want to be changed, then get changed immediately. My dad received his calling to be a pastor, but he did not obey his calling at first. He was preparing to join a Taekwondo national team when he was young, but one day he got into an accident and he hurt his leg. And you know that for Taekwondo, hurting your leg can be fatal. So, and because of this accident, he had to quit Taekwondo. And he had a few other life-threatening moments, but he did not lose his life, thankfully. But which later he thought that that was a sign from God for him to obey to his calling. And before I decided to go to the seminary, my dad told me about this, and he told me to obey immediately, because he said that because of his disobedience, as he was doing the ministry, God only sent many disobedient people to his church. And he learned a lesson that way. So he told me to obey immediately when there's God's calling. So I did. Although I never wanted to become a pastor, but when God called me, I obeyed immediately. And I don't know if it's because of this, God has blessed me with so many people who are obedient, supportive, and cooperative. And I learned that even though God's command doesn't seem to make sense, even though his command is a difficult task or something I can't or don't want to do it, when I obey him, he will show me his thought behind that command and show what's best for me. So do you feel any God-given grace? Do you feel like God wants you to do something? Are you challenged by God's word and want to do something for God? Then do it immediately. Because you may lose the opportunity and the chance may not come back. Don't say, oh, let me finish this drama and pray later. Don't say, let me save some more money and give it later. Or let me take care of my stuff first and commit my time for God later. But rather, say, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. This must be our response to his calling. Thirdly, Abraham's obedience is transcendent. Verse 24 says, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. When Abraham was circumcised, he was how old? 9 months? 99 years old. He probably have anticipated some resistance to circumcise all the men in the house. Even though he achieved Ishmael through Hagar, Sarah's servant, Ishmael is the only son he had. So he probably did not want to take the risk of circumcision on him. So this command to circumcise all men was a very difficult task for Abraham. He may not want to do what God said, and he may not have ability to do what God said, but he transcends all realistic problem and all his understanding, and he showed absolute obedience. If he couldn't overcome these barriers, then he probably couldn't have become the man of faith. This was possible for Abraham because he did not focus on the barriers or the challenges, but he focused on God, who is sovereign, gracious, and everlasting. Although it is something that he did not want or couldn't obey, but he transcends his knowledge and understanding and did exactly what God told him to do. You know, the problem becomes more difficult when we focus on the barrier. So you have to choose whether you will focus on the barrier or focus on God. This faithless or faithful decision will change the way you see and approach the problem. If we only focus on our situation ability, we may not be able to obey to do something for God. We may not even understand what God is trying to do for us, through us. But if we focus on God and submit ourselves to Him, then He will give us the ability, power, and overcome the situation for us to do His work. We may feel like this is something that I can't do. This is something that I don't want to do. But God will give us ability and power. Like I said, what God requires is not your ability, but your obedience. Regardless of our circumstances, we must obey God thoroughly by looking at God of Almighty. And what we should do is this. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16 says, "This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul." And what God will give you is this. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, Job was put through a terrible trial. He was rich, but he lost all of his possession. He lost his cattle. He lost his house, his wife, his children, and even his own health. This was a total mess for Job, but listen to his prayer. Job 19:25 says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand upon the earth at last." Job knew that no matter what he was going through now, he could endure it because he believed that his Redeemer lives and will keep his promise. David also went through difficult times being chased by Saul. But he says in Psalm 23:4 that even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Although he felt like he's going through the darkest tunnel, he believed that God will be with him forever. And such reliance made him to overcome such difficult situations. You know, every day is like a new journey. We will take a next step to where we have not yet experienced. Many things can be uncertain. Who in this room can guarantee tomorrow? We will not know what will happen. We may have to deal with troubles. We have to go through the challenges. Or we may have to face a situation where we must make an important decision. But we must focus on God. Although sometimes what God commands is hard to understand. And sometimes it is something that we do not want to obey. And sometimes it is too difficult for us. But remember, we obey not because we understand, but we will understand when we obey. We obey not because we have ability to do everything what God says, but we obey because we believe that He will give us ability to do His will when we obey. Although we may not understand His command at the moment, He will surely teach us and show us His purpose. So instead of worrying about the uncertainties, but pray to God with the faith of certainty that God has planned for us, and He will provide His guidance to us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and hope." I'd like to conclude my message. Have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Have you needed to make a difficult decision and wonder what God wanted you to do? If not, start thinking. We all struggle with questions about our future. How can I know God's plan for my life? Which job should I take? Is this the person God wants me to marry? Is this a good investment to make? Should I share the gospel at my workplace? I mean, you probably have more things, more questions to add to this list. But the greatest discovery I have ever made concerning how to know the will of God is this: fully surrendering my life to the Lordship of Christ. Living a life of obedience with the power of the Holy Spirit and maintaining my love for Jesus. Many Christians are trying so hard to discover the will of God that they lose the joy of the Lord and leave their first love for Him. But all we need to do is to abide in Christ, maintain our love for Him, and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will be in the will of God. So as you continue to walk in the Spirit, He will guide you in making the most important decisions of life. He will also guide you in the daily, moment-by-moment decision and actions of your life. Some people are reluctant to trust God completely with their lives, fearing that He may want to make a change in their plans. But you know what? Yes, He may change our plans. But His plans are infinitely better than the very best we could ever conceive. You need to believe this. We may think that our way is way better than God's way, but no way. There's no way that our way is better than His way. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Think about it. Is it not logical that the one who created us knows better than those who are created? And since He loves us enough to die for us, is it not logical to believe that He will give what's best for us? Obedience is not to suppress you or entangle you, but the true test of our love for Christ and the secret to discovering God's will for our life. So although you may be in a situation where you have hard time understanding God's will, although you may feel like God's word doesn't make sense, although you may feel like your way is better, believe that God who loves you to death and God who created us for His glory will guide our path and allow what's best for us. And remember that this trust comes from our love for Christ. May you find this grace and live the life of obedience as a response to His love and grace and His covenant of promise that is sovereign, gracious, and everlasting. And I pray that His sovereignty, grace, and everlasting love will be with you richly. Let's pray. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your words today. There are many times that we are weak. There are many times that we are doubtful. There are many times that we are so disobedient. But may today's word touch us and challenge us so that no matter what, no matter where we are and whatever we do, help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to not to go ahead of you, but help us to follow you as a follower of Jesus Christ. May you continue to guide our path and help us to truly rely on your love and abide in your presence. We thank you so much for what you have done for us. Pray this in Jesus' name.